handle the truth.
Should we or should we not follow the advice of the galactically stupid?
Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe fuck yourself.
You're all a bunch of fucking assholes. You know why? You don't have the guts to be what you want to be. You need people like me. You need people like me so you can point your fucking fingers and say, that's the bad guy.
Clearly, don't know who you're talking to, so let me clue you in. I am not in danger, Skyler. I am the danger. A guy opens his door and gets shot, and you think that of me? No. I am the one who knocks.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Righteous Prick Podcast. I'm your host, J.L. Covin. It is 10:30 a.m. on August 10th, the year of our Lord, 2020. Recording this in the morning because the day job has not produced documents for review yet this morning. So I just get to sit back with a collection of walnuts and cashews and a cup of hot green tea. You know, who needs donuts and bagels when you have forest feces, as I call walnuts. Cashews, not bad. But then this is why I hate health people. When I'm like, oh, I cashews, they're like, well, they're a little carby. Yeah, I don't think I got fucking pre-diabetic because I ate too many cashews. But thank you for trying to shit on healthy eating because it's not perfect. How do you like walnuts? See, walnuts are a perfect health food because they fucking taste horrible. They have great health benefits, and that's why I call them forest feces. They look like things that redwoods in Lord of the Rings, like those trees would shit walnuts in the Lord of the Rings if they shit. And then green tea I like, and they say it's healthy for you. People are saying it's very strong in health. So, the diet's going all right, I guess. I've had a couple cheat days. I had pizza yesterday because I was just... Every week is exhausting, folks. Every week is exhausting. It's a good kind of exhausting. It's how I imagine like a lady porn star feels after a 10-man gangbang. It's like, yeah, I'm tired, but we did good work today. That's how my work schedule feels right now. I got the day job, which fortunately a little respite today. Technically, I'm on the clock right now, but there's no documents in the queue for review. Fallen behind a little bit on my reading. Recently ordered 3 books that, you know, I think I broke the Barnes & Noble algorithm. That's right. I paid more to get books off of BarnesandNoble.com because I don't believe in supporting Amazon's monopoly. I know everybody is lazy and programmed, but I don't shop on Amazon unless absolutely necessary. So if I shop on Amazon for very weird knickknacks. It's like, I need a Trump MAGA butt plug for a Mike Pence sketch, and only Amazon has that. Then I go to Amazon. Or but other than that, I use Amazon. I watch programs on my girlfriend's Amazon Prime because I have no problem with Amazon Prime. Because it's not a money winner for them, really. And also, there's competition. There's robust competition in the streaming sphere. So there's Netflix, there's Disney Plus, there's Hulu, all of which I fucking have. HBO Max have it. Sorry, Peacock, I don't have you yet because I'm behind on literally 4 different streaming platforms. I thought I'd have more time during this COVID pandemic, but as it turns out, I now have 2 careers and barely any time. So comedy updates, folks. Big comedy updates. I said that like Donald Sterling talking about Magic Johnson. Big Magic Johnson. What has he ever done? He has AIDS. one of the funnier things ever, unintentionally funny. But big comedy stuff. Let me get these announcements out of the way. Okay, so first off, live show for all New Jersey residents who listen to me. Your new adopted son, J.L. Covan, will be there with Jay Nogg doing a live episode of Making Podcasts Great Again. Outdoor, spacious seating for social distancing, masks, the whole deal. I think you like order your tickets on. Go to stressfactory.com. It's August 31st at 7:30 p.m. Go order your tickets because everything is sort of contactless. So it's like you come with a digital ticket. You don't print out anything. They're doing the best they can. And this is my first. This is, I think, my first. Certainly my first paid show of August of 2020. I probably had some open mics and shit in early 2020. But basically, my last paid booking was in winter of 2019. Kind of cool, good to dust off a little bit, and I'm doing it hopefully in as safe a way as possible. I'm making my first trip to Manhattan on Thursday in 6 months or five and a half months, five months, for the podiatrist, because there's some maintenance. There's some maintenance that needs to go on when you're not, one of these petite ass TikTok fitness bitches rolling in at 5'6". 218 doing your fitness videos. Bitches, I meant the men. I was not referring to women as bitches. So the live show, that's the first thing. Thank you to Deborah Messing, who I know doesn't listen to this podcast because almost nobody listens to this podcast, but she shared one of my Lincoln Project videos that I did. I picked up like 1,500 Instagram followers in a matter of 3 days, which was awesome. Because that I only had like 4,500 for the Trump podcast. I don't have a personal account on Instagram, but I only had 4,500, and now we're over 6,000 in a matter of a few days. So that's been cool. Obviously, if you're on Instagram and you like my humor, especially the Trump theme stuff, because that's all it really is on the Instagram account, that's at Trump Pod. What else, folks? So Instagram and the live show. Oh, yes. This week, starting at 3:16 p.m., it will already be up by the time you hear this episode Monday night or Tuesday morning or later. Trump Bible Study, my new web series. We're actually making a real push for this to get some publicity. It's hilarious. It's Trump. I've been percolating on this for a while, but it's Trump reading five different Bible passages to prove that he's a better Christian than Joe Biden. It's superb. That's all. It's superb. And I hope it goes viral. I hope it gets shared by a lot of people. But that's starting Monday every day this week, Monday through Friday, at 3:16 p.m. Eastern. There will be a Trump Bible study video uploaded. So that's fun. So be sure to check out. That's on the Trump the Internet channel, youtube.com/Trump the Internet. So if you tweet, if you see it up sometime this week, retweet your favorite or retweet all of them with the hashtag Trump Bible study. We'll try to get that going. But trust me, those are going to be really, they're really, really funny. So I hope you enjoy those. As always, I have the two YouTube channels. I have two podcasts. So I hope you'll visit jlcomedy.com and subscribe to all of them. Those are all free. You should already, if you're a fan of mine, own all of my albums. And if you don't, then I consider you a pending fan. Okay? I respect the pending fans, but full-fledged fans own all six stand-up albums. Subsidies. I will subsidize poor fans. Pending fans have no excuse, but if you're a pending poor fan or a poor fan, I will allow you to stream up to five albums as long as you buy at least one. How about that? Of my six stand-up albums. So there's that. Oh, and yeah, this week there's a lot of shit, so I'm sorry if this is just a laundry list. I did Frank Caliendo's podcast. There's no greater compliment to your impression than when you make Frank Caliendo and his co-host John, who were both, it was really fun. Doing that, like, I mean that legitimately. It was not like, hey, forced laughter. It was, they were funny guys, and it was a really fun episode. Really, and got to some comedically dark places, but great respect for them to, that sounded like Trump. They showed me really great, very strong and great respect. But they did, like, it was, to have somebody like Frank Caliendo, who's sort of, He was sort of the next Dana Carvey. You know, Dana Carvey was Mr. King of Impressions for sort of the late 80s, early 90s, and then like late 90s into the 2000s. Caliendo, there hasn't really been somebody, I think, established that's bigger than him in terms of breadth of impressions and fame. But yeah, Caliendo is, it was great it was just super fun. So that goes up this week. I think it may go up Tuesday. So I guess just be on the lookout for that. And they were giving me a ton of praise on their previous episode, which is, I think, why they reached out to have me as a guest. I'm telling you because it was a really fun and funny episode. So I think you will enjoy it. You know, if you hear this podcast and go, I listen to this because I want to know what JL's thinking, but it's a real downer most of the time. That is sort of a comedy podcast where you get to hear me doing different things, talking different things, and it's all mostly upbeat. Obviously, lip syncing came up, you know, and there's a normal discussion of it, but most of the episode is just super fun. So check that out, Frank Caliendo's podcast this week. And then in other weird news, Nathan Davis Jr., a TikTok influencer. He's an actor and singer who has 9.1 or 9.2 million followers on TikTok and like 700,000 followers on Instagram, asked me to do my Trump for a video. And I think they were editing that last night. So that may be up as soon as Monday the 10th before you even hear this episode. But that may change my status on TikTok, which is generally, I find, a disturbing platform and annoying. But it was a pure business decision. And even though it's run by the Chinese, they are not consciously destroying democracy the way Facebook is. So that's why I kind of caved and joined TikTok, just to see. You know, it's a different demo. There's obviously so many people on it now, but it's obviously a little more youth driven. You know, I'm not trying to get 14-year-old fans, but I mean, I shouldn't say that. I'm not trying to like be Drake and Millie Bobby Brown is more how I should phrase that. But obviously more eyeballs on my YouTube, more eyeballs on my videos and what I do, all welcome. So I have 250 followers on TikTok as of today. But I think if and when Nathan Davis Jr. posts the video with me tagged on Instagram, Instagram and TikTok, I assume my follows on TikTok will explode relatively. Does that mean I get to 5,000? Does that mean I get to 50,000? Do I get to 800? I don't know, but it's obviously going to have a positive impact. So this week, a lot of stuff. I think everything I mentioned was totally free, which is nice. So a lot of things percolating and happening, as well as some moves on the PR front that I don't want to talk about because they're sort of up in the air and only possible. But, you know, I think August and September are shaping up to be big months for me, as they should, you know, obviously spearheaded by the Trump impression. But like I said, if I can add 50,000 fans and 5,000 of them become stand-up comedy fans, then that's a huge bonus to whatever stand-up career I have coming to me in 2021. Okay, so I think that's the list of all the shit I needed to talk about. I hope that wasn't annoying, because, you know, it's just, oh, and I'll be on Pete Dominic's podcast recording tomorrow, as well as recording with Brent Terhune tomorrow for his podcast. So it's a lot of stuff happening. And then, of course, Wednesday morning up goes Making Podcasts Great Again. So it's a lot of content. But if you're bored out there, you know, supporting the free content, you know, is appreciated, and also hopefully not too big an ask. But all of those things you should follow. I mean, like, check out, because they're all different. You know, you'll get to see me doing a TikTok video with a young influencer. You'll get to see me with Frank Caliendo, one of the greats of impressions, and obviously my regular content. But Trump Bible study, you cannot guarantee anything goes viral or how things will hit. But Trump Bible study, man, it's really good. You know, and I have some people who are maybe going to share it with some liberal evangelicals, because as you know, I'm somebody, well, maybe you don't know, but as many of you know, I'm a church going Catholic, and I'm not here. I'll make fun of religion. I'm not above making fun of religion, but I do have underneath it all. Just like when I make fun of, if I reference disabled kids, hypothetically on the Frank Caliendo podcast. Me and Caliendo's co-host were riffing on it was really dark, but really funny stuff on the Shriners Hospital ads, if you're familiar with those. And I could just see Caliendo like kind of wanting to laugh, but being like, God, I am not this dude. But I've made multiple bits on albums about, you know, surrounding 9/11. It's like, at my core, whether I joke about religion, 9/11, kids who are, struggling, these are all things at my core that I, of course, off stage, off mic, care deeply about and would not mock, and I'm not mocking in any genuine way, and I'm doing it for humor only. And there are boundaries I don't go to, but not many when it comes to comedy, if I think I can make something funny. If you listen to Making Podcasts Great Again, and I talk about this on the Caliendo podcast, when the woman, and I'm forgetting her name, Allie is her first name, but she won the Tony for supporting actress in a musical, or featured actress in a musical, for Oklahoma. And she's a very pretty girl, pretty woman, but she's in a wheelchair. She was paralyzed in a car accident from, I guess, the waist down. Now, as Trump on the Making Podcasts Great Again, I did a extended bit off the cuff about how she had very big breasts and how Trump was sort of attracted to her. And at the end of that episode, I sort of like, if that offended you, I don't blame you. I don't even feel that good about that. But it was sort of in the moment, there was laughter. And yes, upon reflection, I go, more consciously, I wouldn't have done that. But I also, the strength of that podcast in many ways is the improvisational, go anywhere, Trump unhinged method of comedy that we do. So it's like, in hindsight, I'm like, that was the rare, I apologized after the episode, not for doing a joke, but I was like, I hope you know I don't feel that way. And I hope you know that I understand if that was a little too much for people, because on reflection, it was a little gross for me too to say. But that said, all these jokes, where did this start? Why do I always do this, folks? Is this becoming like a recurring thing where you just see me slowly descending into dementia? Like every week there's just another, what the fuck was I talking about? I was talking about comedy in general and I guess making shitty jokes. I can't control the tangents that I go in anymore. My mind has become more scatterbrained as it's gotten overworked and busy. Like, I was never the type of person to leave cabinets open. And I remember my college girlfriend, college and law school girlfriend, she's super smart family. Like she's a doctor. And her brother, I think, if I'm not mistaken, if my, research from many, many years ago, I think he was an MD PhD candidate at Harvard. Just both, I think, valedictorians of the high school, both went to Williams College, just super smart. Yeah, I was Dean's List my last semester at Williams, and she was, I believe, Dean's List all 8 semesters. So that's, anyway. but I remember when I visited, and I guess he was a freshman when we were seniors, I think. I want to say freshman, senior was the breakdown. He might have been a sophomore, but I think there was 3 years between them. But anyway, I remember visiting, many times out to Columbus, Ohio, and when he would come have breakfast, he would like leave 4 cabinets open and the cereal out. And my then girlfriend was always like, yeah, he's always doing that. He's always just like scatterbrained. And I'm like, I've been sort of an anal retentive person in many ways, like very neat and organized. And I was like, oh, that's, please. Nobody's. Yeah, please. You can find time to do the right thing. Just because you're some eccentric genius, you can't close cabinets and put your stuff away. And I'm not saying I'm an eccentric genius. I'm a mainstream genius. No, but ever since, for the last like 4 months, ever since I couldn't leave my law job because comedy is a fickle whore, but I've been overworked with comedy content as well. I have just like turned around sometimes. I've been sitting on the couch and I'm like, why are 3 cabinets open and like 5 glasses on the counter all of a sudden? That's not something I used to do. So now, retroactively, I'd like to apologize. Hopefully this apology can count retroactively 19 years for judging his eccentric genius. Because obviously when you're, a Harvard, I think it was Harvard, but if you're a Harvard MD, PhD, you're sort of top 1 of 1% of brilliant people. And maybe he really was just all over the place with his thoughts and intelligence. So how about that? How about that? It's never too late to apologize to your first girlfriend's brother for things you never even articulated out loud but thought. So wherever that was going, I was talking about just comedy and saying nasty things, very strong and nasty things. This week, speaking of nasty things, making podcasts great again is going to be a sad tribute to on the one-year anniversary. We're recording tonight on the 10th, the one-year anniversary of Donald Trump's favorite statutory rape threesome partner, Jeff Epstein. And it's going to be, you know, a somber sort of 9/11-esque never forget episode where we relive some of the fondest memories Trump had with Jeff Epstein. So in other words, for everything I just said about apologizing, I clearly intend to go down a very devious, awful, controversially comedic route today. So lesson not learned, apparently. Oh, but so much going on and so much not going on, folks. Am I right? And if I sound chipper, see, this is now I'm doing this in the morning. So I've got my morning radio energy. The coffee has just kicked in, the black coffee with MCT oil, because we're living healthy. Clean and healthy living, guys. I was going to talk about books I bought. Didn't I say I was going to talk about? But wow, that's another thing I didn't tell you. I bought a couple of books recently, even though my reading has really tailed off during the quarantine, which I hate. I'd like to, it's too hot for me to read out on my terrace, but I just need a change of scenery, but there's really nowhere for me to read. I don't trust park benches, bugs and homeless people and, you know, teenager semen probably from their late night rendezvous, these young whippersnappers. I don't know. Nobody does that. But you know, I just want to sound like an old man. But three books I bought that I think broke the Barnes and Noble algorithm for sure. Adam Carolla's new book called I Am Your Emotional Support Animal. Isabel Wilkerson's, shout out to Rod of the Black Guy Who Tips. Her first big book, Warmth of Other Suns. I've heard so much about it from Rod and other people, and it's just one that I obviously should have read a long time ago. And Rick Perlstein's final book about the rise of the modern conservative movement called Reaganland. A political quadrology or whatever that I highly recommend. I haven't read Reaganland, obviously, and it's about 800 pages. But I've read the first. It's basically, you know, 1964 to 1980, four books covering those 16 years. And the first three I loved. Some people trashed the third one as too all over the place because he basically fit in a Ronald Reagan biography into the middle of an 850-page book about the mid-70s and Reagan's failed attempt leading up to the 1976 election to run for president to primary Gerald Ford. It's an incredible sort of group of books, but I feel like that's an odd trilogy. That's an odd threesome of books to order, but that's who I am. You know, I have four Carolla books and I find them very funny. Only one I thought the one like that was a retrospective on his youth, I thought was the weakest of them. No shame. But man, I remember when I first started listening to him and I bought In 50 Years We'll All Be Chicks. And God, I laughed out loud so many times at that book. And I've always said this. Carolla politically and in terms of maybe some definite, let's be nice, but say insensitivities, I'd say, on race and economics. I understand where he's coming from his personal bio, but I strongly disagree with the tone and some of the conservative company he keeps. But 50 Years Will All Be Chicks was like so much about his youth, not youth, his everyday life criticisms. It wasn't very much politics and taxes and rate. It was largely just little tidbits and things about, and that most of which I agreed with. And he did it in such an aggressively funny manner. So I said, you know what? I've always liked the books. Let me get this new one. And obviously there's going to be stuff I don't agree with in it, but he still makes me laugh. And the books have been sort of a very consistent source of laughter. So who knows? Who knows though? He's changed a little bit, I think, in tone, since I first started listening. So I'll be the judge of that when I read the book, but you know, that's what I do, folks. And I support art that I like, whether or not I always support the person behind the art in terms of their beliefs. You know, the man's not a criminal. It's not like I just said, hey, Bill Cosby, new book, let me get at this. Although I am very tempted to buy Woody Allen's biography. So there, once again, I'm contradicting myself. Although technically Woody Allen, not a criminal, a creep for sure. Where the jury is literally out on whether he is, well, they're not out because he's not on trial, but you know what I mean, on whether he is a criminal, but a creep for sure, but great artist as well. So let's see, what else can I talk about? I think this is going to be a short episode before I start turning morose, but I basically promoted a half a dozen things to you and told you about some books. I'm still making my way through this Stephen King book for like 4 months because I've only read in the book like four different days during quarantine. I just can't, I've been too busy. And then at the end of the day, I just pass out in bed instead of reading like I used to. I used to read for like 45 minutes in bed and that would be how I'd go to sleep. Now I just look at big-breasted single moms on TikTok for 5 minutes and go to sleep. So I got to change those habits. That, and by the way, that's not a search I do on TikTok. That is, the TikTok algorithm is 5'8" jack dudes working out without their shirt, doing tutorials, dance videos, lip sync videos, impressionists, and big-breasted single moms, mostly from Florida, as I gather. It just shows you also the how man, if you don't live in a major city, you know, if you're in fucking, you know, incest land, Florida, I see these people with pools and stuff. I'm like, who are you? Are you married to a rich dude? Are you just like, do houses really only cost like 28 grand in like half this country? And you're like, this is me. I got four kids. I'm divorced. I got big old hooters, a little bit of a slut gut, and I'm dancing in my under, like my pool, not above ground pool, a real ass pool. Cause I got a big 8-room house. And I got it for 19 grand when the foreclosures hit and they kicked out all the African American Negroes. So now I'm just dancing and lip syncing with my big old tooties in your face. Give me a like and a subscribe, please. Oh, if anything from this podcast, I hope you stuck around to get that laugh. That felt funny. what else? I guess there's nothing really else to talk about this week. I just, you know, I read the paper. Trump sucks. We're headed for some kind of civil war. You know, I just, ugh. I don't need to talk about Trump this week. He's just, man, if you ain't on my side at this point, if you can't see that that dude is an intentionally destructive force to democracy and harmony in this society. I don't care how much you dislike liberal politics or liberal whining. You know, the revolution was not fought and the Civil War was not fought because one side was too politically correct. This ain't it. Like, this ain't the fight. Trump is his own England / Confederacy / Jim Crow / Bull Connor / you know, Willie Horton ad, all wrapped into one, and he's doing it consciously. As much as he's capable of conscious and deliberate thought, it's what he's doing. And man, if you aren't I'm sorry, this ain't Republican Democrat. This is how I'll end the podcast, and I apologize, I just said I wouldn't. I've contradicted myself at least 4 times on this very episode, so we can make it a short one before I just have to cancel myself by minute 45. But if you're not against Trump at this point, actively against, you are part of the problem. I'm sorry, you are. This dude is cancer, okay? He is not Mitt Romney. He's not even George W. Bush. He's not even George fucking Wallace. He is cancer. And you do one of two things with cancer. You fight it with research and advice and medicine and good habits, or you don't. And if you are just sitting there, you can't be neutral on cancer. If you don't do anything on cancer, cancer wins. So you have to fight it. You have to fight against cancer using good practices and good medicine. And hey, positive thinking and prayer if you're into it. But not doing anything on cancer means you are with cancer, because not doing anything on cancer will allow cancer to win. Okay? And that's what Trump is. There is nothing of value. There is nothing positive about the man. He is one of our worst people. Forget worst presidents. He's got that locked up. You know, he's the Usain Bolt of fucking shitty presidents. He's just so far. He can look back while approaching the finish line and not lose the race. He is a disease. He is wrong. He is anti-American to his core. If you know any history, if you know any faith traditions or history or law, he is anathema to all those things. He is the fucking worst. And if you are not actively doing something against him, and I'm not saying you have to go out and march, and if you aren't voting for Joe Biden in the fall, you are part of the problem. You are part of the disease that is Trump. So that's it. Like, that's, I don't want to, I could always talk about a million different fucking things. His fucking douchey, ugh, his country club fucking people. I said this to my brother this week, and I said, I think they're almost worse than Trump somehow, because they're going there like middle-aged white dudes in their polos and khakis laughing at the media. Imagine having wealth and a job and a family, and then during COVID, you prioritize going to a Trump press conference at a country club, not wearing masks, mocking and booing media people doing their job. That's how you're spending your COVID. Imagine being that level of piece of shit human being. So you're either with America and what it's supposed to stand for and what its traditions and laws and founding was supposed to be about, or you're with Trump. So if you vote for fucking some libertarian bitch or some third party moron or some Kanye West douche, fuck you too. Fuck you. You're with Trump. At this point, you're with Trump. Sorry. This ain't me saying, if you vote for George Bush, you hate America. If you vote for Mitt Romney, no, that's not it. This is it. You know, this is it. You are against Trump or you are with Trump. You are not, there is no points. There never were points, but for real, explicitly, it has to be said. There's no points for being like, well, I wanted more choices and it's my right and I'm proud of my vote. Fuck you. Okay? Fuck you if you don't vote for Joe Biden. Sorry. That's it. That's it. Because you're watching a man intentionally divide the country, intentionally get people sick, intentionally ruin what this country's supposed to be at, all while he's been doing this, while suppressing rights for LGBTQ people, while demonizing anybody from the military to the handicapped if they don't agree with him. Demonizing minorities, demonizing immigrants, a sexual assaulter, a rapist, a guy who wants to fuck his own daughter. Man, he's been the worst. But if you can't vote for Joe Biden, if you can't vote, and bonus if you can say I should have voted for Hillary Clinton, because to me, those are still, I worked with Lincoln Project, but as you know, there are some people on Lincoln Project who were anti-Trump from day one, and that I respect. There are those who were helping Trump get elected who then on day, 420 decided they were anti-Trump. I don't respect that as much. But if you don't vote for Joe Biden, fuck you. And that's how I'll end the episode. So thank you for listening, guys. Hopefully you got a laugh at least out of that TikTok. And thank you. Please, all those free things I mentioned, please go out and support, subscribe, listen. A lot of fun stuff this week. Could be a big, big, big week for me on social media and stuff. And if you're in New Jersey, get tickets to those pair up or come as a group of four. Families or couples basically is basically who can attend the show, I think. I don't think that's true. I think they make you buy two tickets. So obviously if you have a partner or a roommate or something or a family, feel free to come out. It's going to be a really fun show, August 31st, 7:30 p.m., Stress Factory in New Brunswick, New Jersey. So thank you for listening. Sorry for that rant at the end, but that is how I feel, and that's what this podcast is about. And isn't it better that I attack Donald Trump than people on social media who are not doing impressions? I agree. I think it is. So thank you, and I will see you next Tuesday.